Well, here we are in the wee hours, and we're going to have open lines for you this entire hour right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, as I was talking about earlier, Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center sent us some information that an incredible sighting of something seen in the Midwest just a few hours ago, with witnesses saying it surely didn't look like a meteor, but they just weren't sure. It was more like a fireball. We are going into a meteor shower blip probably in another week or two. We'll get Dr. Sky on to talk about that later. But who knows what it was. Anyway, we've got a full hour of open lines for you. I started Damon Vickers a little earlier tonight. It was on the economy and a crashing dollar, so I thought we'd grab that right away. So this hour, it'll be just you, just me on Coast to Coast AM, and let's go to Ralph in Littleton, Colorado, to get us going. Ralph, good morning.
Good morning, George. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I was wondering if you're familiar with Kevin Freeman and his book entitled The Secret Weapon. In essence, he's saying that economic and financial terrorism will eventually be the downfall of the USA if things keep going the way they're going. And if you weren't, maybe he might be an interesting guest to have on the show.
And he might be right up the alley, too, because that's very possible. Very possible indeed. We'll get him.
He's the CEO of Freeman Global Investment Council, and also did that paper for the DOD or the Pentagon on economic warfare risk and responses back in 2009. So he's got a lot of credentials, and it might be an interesting resource for the listeners.
Are you as bullish on the economy as Damon Vickers is?
No. I think we got a bunch of clowns running the country. I think people are in disarray, and I think there's a lot of other things that are taking us down the wrong road, so I'm not that confident.
Well, I don't think you're alone, Ralph. Let's go to Dennis in West Mufflin, Pennsylvania. Hi, Dennis. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Hey, George. How are you doing today?
Good. Real well. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, my story, back in 1973, I joined the United States Air Force, and basic training, and I went to Chanute, Illinois for tech school. I was an aircraft mechanic. Well, shortly after that, I was stationed in Rickenbacker Air Force Base in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
And we pulled a TDY up in Alaska. We flew from Columbus, Ohio to Sacramento, laid over there. Then the next day, we went up to Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska. Well, while we were there, we pulled some cargo trips over to an island. It's called Shimya. It's a island that's 50 miles off the Russian border. On a clear day, you could stand there and see the Russian border. Are you still there?
Yeah, now you sound like Sarah Palin.
yeah, exactly. But anyway, back and forth, like hauling stuff over for the troops and like motors for airplanes and stuff.
Okay.
We were coming back the one night. It was in 1974, probably like mid June, July, somewhere around there. My pilot was from Wright-Patterson, Ohio area. His name was Kevin. I can't remember his last name. He was the captain. And it was nighttime and we were flying back from Shimya. And I was on the headset listening to them talking up front. I was tying down cargo in the back of the plane. And he says, "Hey, guys, we have company off our left wing tip."
Ooh.
And I'm thinking, well, as close as we were to Russia, maybe they sent up a plane to check out to see who we were.
Sure.
So I walked up to the left wing hatch and looked out the window, and there was this huge UFO about 150 yards off our wing tip. And I asked Kevin, I says, "Are you going to call that in and report it?" And he says, "Are you crazy?" And I says, "What do you mean, am I crazy?" He says, "Back in them days, if you reported a UFO, they grounded you." He says, "I want a life of flying after the Air Force. I want to make sure I can get a job." I'm not reporting anything.
What did it look like, Dennis?
It was large. I was a crew chief on a KC-135, which is a 707 in civilian life. And it was bigger than we were. It was a lot bigger than we were. And it looked almost like a cigar, like a big fat stogie with a dome on the top and a smaller dome on the bottom. and it had like a palish white blue glow to it. It wasn't bright. It was just like a dull, like a fluorescent light glow to it. And being an aircraft mechanic, I was looking for some type of propulsion, and I couldn't find anything on it that would make me even think that it was flying.
And obviously, it didn't have any wings, right?
Oh, no, it didn't. It didn't.
And did it keep up with you, or what happened to it?
Oh, it kept up with us for a while, and then all of a sudden, like, it, like, made a left-hand, like, 90-degree turn, and boom, was gone over the horizon. It, like, instantly it was gone. It was amazing. It's the first time I flew that I didn't have my camera with me. I always carried my camera because we refuel a lot of fighters and bombers and stuff. And first time I didn't have my camera with me to take pictures of it.
Did it have any insignia on it, any writings, nothing?
I didn't see a thing on it.
Yeah.
And Kevin wasn't calling it in. So.
Now, these little domes at the top and the bottom of it, were they like glass or all solid?
They looked solid to me. The top one was shinier than the bottom one for some reason. The top one was like maybe almost the same size as the top, but the bottom one was like real small, like a landing base or something. But it was an experience.
Was there a moment, Dennis, that you thought maybe this is ours?
No,
not at all.
No, no. Just considering KC-135, I was trained on B-52s, and they're all old and they're falling apart. And I think if the United States would have that much technology, then our aircraft would be better than it is. You know what I mean?
So you are convinced that we're being visited by ETs?
Yeah. I'm sorry. You couldn't tell me that we're not being visited by anybody.
No,
I know we are.
I've got to tell you, Dennis, in all my years of interviewing people and eyewitnesses in the UFO phenomenon, your story is way up there. You seem so credible, so honest, so real. And the fact that you saw this, I feel like I was in the plane with you. That's an amazing story. Let's go to Las Vegas, Nevada. Anthony, take it away. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, George. It was a great show tonight.
He did a great job, didn't he?
Yes, I was really looking forward to this show. Now, I know you're a man who does not believe in a coincidence, correct?
Nope, not at all.
Now, what would you think the chances are that George Bush Sr. would make a congressional speech on September 11th, 1990, where he would talk about the crisis in the Persian Gulf, offering a rare opportunity for the world to move forward in a historic period of cooperation towards a new world order?
Isn't that interesting?
I think that is not a coincidence. I think they are, here, 22 years or so, further, they're getting very, very close to it.
Well, the old Al-Qaeda guys, they could have taken that date. They could have listened to his speech, and they probably said, let's use this date. It's so ominous. You never know. Josh in Austin, Texas. Hey, Josh, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you, George. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you, Josh.
First off, I was wondering, do you believe in ghosts? Because I do, and I've seen a few things and have some family stories that, that I believe is proof in ghosts and the paranormal.
Yes, I do believe in ghosts. Matter of fact, our program tomorrow is with a ghost detective. Tell me one of your stories.
Actually, there was one time me and my girlfriend and my friend Abraham were hanging outside, and we could see into the right that there's a window there. And all of a sudden, we all saw a black figure at the same time, and it just zoomed away. My friend Abraham was sitting right across from me, and he could see into the room at a better angle than we could. And he said that he saw a black mass run from one part of the room to the other, and through the door. So that's one of them. And we all saw a black mass at the same time. We all looked at the same time, and there was nobody else in the house that could have been in the room. It was really weird.
You've seen shadow people, then, it sounds like.
Yes, we saw shadow people. And then one time, my family, my mom and my father, they both swear that they've seen a figure of what appears to be a little girl standing in the hallway at an apartment complex that they used to rent out before I was born. And they claim that every time they'd go up to see where she was at, she'd be gone, and they thought it was maybe my older sisters who were younger at the time, but it turns out they were always asleep, so they don't know exactly what they saw peeking out the corner. I always thought maybe it might have been the miscarried child that my grandmother had, or maybe it might have been a demonic spirit just coming to us in the form of a child, something trusting.
Well, let me tell you why I believe in ghosts and the spirits. There's no question in my mind that we have, since this universe was formed, it was done by intelligent design. I'm just not one of those believers that this is all pure science. There's just too much order. There's too much. There's just way too much thought process that goes into this. And the fact that we're alive on this planet doing what we're doing convinces me that there's more to life than just some fluke of nature that has put all this together, and here we are. We have purpose. And in so doing, the soul that we have in our bodies, when it leaves at death and goes on and does whatever it does, whether it's reincarnation or who knows what, convinces me that the spirit, the soul, the ghost, whatever it is, exists. It's real. And, you know, I'm not going to be the one to tell you I know exactly why. I don't know why. But I just know deep in my heart that there's more to all of this than a fluke of nature. And I think this is real. I think there's other life in the universe. There's a spirit world. I believe in a God. That definition is very, very wide and vague for me, but I believe in it, and nobody will ever convince me otherwise. Let's go to Colorado Springs in Colorado, and it's Frank's turn. Hey, Frank, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a builder of homes, and I've designed and built homes that will give you perfect health mentally and physically and spiritually. And I know how crazy that sounds, but the truth is the average home in America is a very toxic energy sieve. And this has been proven by the Department of Energy, the National Science Foundation, but they can't tell the public because it's just too crazy for anybody to understand.
Is it because of your electrical outlets and things like that, Frank?
Well, it's mostly because of all of the toxins that we bring in our house, including the paint and the wax and the everything we bring in the house outgasses, and it collects, and we inhale that, and it's damages our physical body, and it even damages our mental body.
So when you build a house that avoids that, what do you do differently?
Well, I use only inert materials, tile, concrete, iron, things that do not outgas. And then I also put a filter on it that has the pressure inside is slightly higher than the pressure outside, so that no gas can come in, and I constantly circulate fresh air in the house through a filter.
That's a good idea.
And so your house has no dust. You don't have to clean it. You don't have to repair it. You don't never have to paint it. It doesn't need maintenance because everything inside is inert. And the water has to be pure water. You don't want any fluoride in your water. You don't want any gases in the air you breathe.
How did you get to become this kind of a builder, Frank?
I've been working on it for over 50 years, and a lot of research and a lot of experiment, and I use myself as a guinea pig, and I have literally cured all of my diseases, including arthritis and you name it, cancer. I've cured them all, and they even now know how to reprogram your mind so you're not in fear and scarcity, and that you can actually be happy and joyful and loving. And so all of this, I put it together, and my SunergyHome.com, if you want to take an example, and I also belong to a think tank now, where we've analyzed all this and put it together and tried it and tested it. And
how many of these homes, Frank, have you guys made?
Well, I've only made one that incorporates all of these factors in them and actually works.
Now, the fact that you only made one is because people just aren't interested? Is it too expensive?
No, because I don't know. I think I've been blackballed because all of a sudden I couldn't get money. And the idea sounds so crazy, most people, I think I'm crazy.
Well, let me tell you, when you first came on to say that you built these homes for health purposes, I thought, well, let's hear him out. But, I mean, you make sense. You make a lot of sense when you talk about the different things you've done to change a house to do that. So I don't think people would look at you as crazy that way. In terms of being blackballed, who knows? I mean, it's a tough economy. Maybe things will pick up for you. Kevin's in Philadelphia and now on Coast to Coast. Hey, Kevin.
George, how
Thanks.
Are you?
I'm doing great.
I'd like to talk about the pure doctrine of Lucifer that lady referred to.
Sure.
That doctrine is the doctrine of the New World Order, is the New Age movement. And also, George, I know you're very spiritual. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. All New Agers and occultists go to hell. That's the truth. The only way is through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross that you go to heaven. Every other way, through opening your third eye, which opens you up to demonic possession. This is the doctrine of the Antichrist, of the coming Lord Maitreya. This is very pervasive on your show, and I would really like to see it stop. I'm tired of hearing this New Age crap every night. I'm very spiritual. I like Christianity. Christianity and New Age actually don't get along. The New Age movement is the one pushing for the New World Order, and they are Luciferian. It's actually sanitized Satanism. So if any New Agers are out there listening to me, you're being deceived by Satan. It's not politically correct, but it's the truth.
Are you saying every New Ager, Kevin?
Yes. New Age religion is the religion that you can ascend to your own godhood.
Well, what if these people are really nice? They're not going to hell. They're not part of the devil. Good grief. We'll be back. On our next Coast to Coast program, Lloyd Auerbach joins us. We're going to be talking about ghost investigations. Looking forward to that. Hey, Mitch Ryder's got a new book out called Devils in Blue Dresses. Wants to come on Coast to Coast. Love to have him. I'll try to do that when I get back to Los Angeles in a few weeks. But we may even get them on a little sooner than that. I'll be back in a moment with more of your final open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Open lines here on Coast to Coast, and of course we take your text questions. Tom has one back in the Los Angeles studios. What do we have, Tommy, and who's it from?
Yes, we do, from Sarah in Sioux City, Iowa. She says, George, I am mailing my income tax tomorrow, and I'm so depressed. Do you think we I know. Do you think we will ever see a fair tax system from our government?
That's a good question. I wish we would. I do not know. Bill Spillane, one of those who heads up the fair tax push, has got a pretty good plan, I think. And, you know, they give vouchers to lower income people and things like that. I have always advocated for years that we do away with our present system of taxation and do something that is fair to people, that they can use most of their money and, you know, do whatever they want. So if you have to pay, Tom, for example, a higher tax for a shirt, so be it. Nobody's forcing you to buy the shirt, But I bet you would like almost 100% of your money, wouldn't you?
I would love that. And I talked to Bill last week. He unfortunately couldn't come on this week, but he said we're going to keep pushing no matter what, and we'll eventually get that. So he's optimistic.
Now, I think the 15th is a Sunday, so the IRS folks have given people to file until what, Tuesday?
Tuesday, the 17th.
Yeah, so be it. Okay, thanks, Tom.
Thanks.
Back to the phones we go in this final half hour. We've got George in Hesperia, California. Go ahead, George.
Hello, Coast to Coast.
Hey.
George, about a week ago, I sent you an email concerning the chemtrail activity going on here in the high desert.
Right.
What I'm witnessing is the chemtrails are being formed vertically, and they're forming structures that look like tornadoes, not with the spin to them, but actually forming them step by step vertically, and then the planes fly by horizontally, feeding into these systems. And I truly believe these tornadoes that we're having in Texas and other parts of the country are being caused by what's going on here in California.
Well, you might be right about that. There's something going on. I think it's weather manipulation, George. And in terms of what you see in the skies, I mean, how prevalent is it?
It was prevalent enough to where I could see it, but I couldn't really get it on my camera on my phone. But it urged me to go down and to the library and email you this information. I mark it alert, extreme chemtrail activity.
Yeah.
And it's just something that my question to you would be, is there somebody I can report what I'm seeing in real time? So, you know, in the 36 hours later when these tornadoes actually do touch down, that somebody can use the information that I'm putting out to maybe be forewarned.
Well, I tell you what you can do. Go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, and in the search section, put in William Thomas or Will Thomas and send him an email and some information. He collects data on these chemtrails, and so definitely get it to him. There really isn't an organized group that's out there checking into chemtrails, so go ahead and do that. You've got some great individual researchers out there. And also put in chemtrails in our search engine, and you'll come up with some other names, too, beyond just Will Thomas. Steve in Allentown, Pennsylvania, welcome to Coast. Hey, Steve, go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi.
My wife really enjoyed your song, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You, when you sang it.
Well, thank you. At least we had one listener who liked it, huh?
I did, too.
No, we had a lot.
She said you sounded exactly like him. I thought you were very close.
I had friends who got married about 7 or 8 years ago, and I sang that song for them, and they weren't looking around. They were just, you know, dancing and doing their wedding thing. They actually thought a DJ was playing an Elvis CD.
Yeah, I heard
that. Was cool.
That. George, before I interject about that fair tax thing very quickly, they wouldn't have to use vouchers. When Herman Cain was talking about his 999, I thought to myself, they wouldn't need vouchers. They could just use electronic transfers like they do for Social Security and so forth now for the poorer people.
That's true, too. You could do that. If they have bank accounts, right?
Well, yeah, everybody basically.
Not everybody has bank accounts. You know what big business is right now, Steve? These companies that cash your check, because a lot of these people don't have bank accounts.
Yeah. Well, they have it set up so you get a free bank account, you know, for if you're on Social Security or SSI, they have a system. But anyway, maybe you keep that in mind rather than vouchers when the discussion comes up.
Absolutely. Okay. We lost you. Let's see if you're still there. I may have lost you. There you are.
Hello?
Okay, go ahead.
You talked to that scientist or astronaut scientist. I didn't quite catch it. About disputing the global warming in the beginning of your show?
Was that today or yesterday?
It was on your news section when you started the show tonight.
Oh, okay.
As soon as somebody comes out and disputes the CO2, the global warming, they shut them right down. But that would really be interesting if it would turn out that Rush was right when he says global warming is a hoax.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Look, global warming might be real, but it's not man-made created. We're in an Earth cycle.
Well, I wish, Al Gore came out and said the debate's over. And I started thinking to myself, a long time ago, I thought to myself, I never heard of debate, as you remember back that far.
There is no debate. This planet has been hotter. We had more CO2 in the atmosphere hundreds of thousands of years ago. Now, unless we had cars and factories there, I don't know why we did. It's a cycle. It happens. Now, has man changed things a little bit, speeded things up, contributed to pollution? Probably. But it hasn't had an effect on the climate change. The planet was going to get through it. Look, they had a mild, mild summer all around the country this year. Winter, rather, all around the country. I'm predicting a treacherous winter this year. That's the way it is. The planet has cycles. Let's go back to the calls. We'll go to John in Iowa, Hamilton County. Welcome to the show, John. Go ahead.
Wow, this is George.
Hi.
Yeah, George, briefly aside, I just wanted to send you some love on your hauntingly beautiful and mysterious music that you guys just really choose. I mean, it's strangely comforting, and it's just, you know, it's magical, and especially the Santana, and it's kind of how I got hooked on your show. But
oh, great. Kind of, we try to throw in a variety, and, you know, my engineer Dan picks some. I pick a lot, and then we've got a list, and we just have fun with it, and that's the important thing.
Yeah, I'm always disappointed when they cut to local because I want to hear the whole thing. So I have my own little audio collection going that I record off the air just because I like to hear how you guys.
Oh, well, and as you know, at the end of the show, if you go to our show recap on the website, Lex and Sean will post the songs and the artists. So you'll have it all out there for you.
I thought I might become an insider if you guys played the whole song, you know, instead of the local.
No, we don't. We don't play the whole song.
I wanted your comment on it's a local news story that's kind of been all over Iowa today, not top story, but people are talking about it. And I'd like to get your perspective on it, and I'm kind of hoping you'll turn it around for me.
Okay.
What happened today, I think it was today or yesterday, some county sheriff found out that a 16-year-old young lady and a 17-year-old lady took their cell phone and took nude pictures of themselves, and then they sent it to a 19-year-old who's over age. So they're going to charge the 19-year-old with a misdemeanor, and they're going to charge the just for receiving it, and they're going to charge the two girls, almost women, get this, with felony exploitation of a minor for exploiting themselves. And I'm just thinking, like, man, talk about revenue gathering government. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the girls should get grounded, should be a private matter. And now their parents are just going to be dragged into this, you know, public.
Yeah, I agree. Yank their phones away from them. Yep. You know, try to, you know, first of all, the fact that they're even doing this, you would hope they would grow out of it one day, but I'm not so sure they will. And, you know, but you can't punish them, you can't put them in jail. Over
felony, you know.
Like that. No.
And I'm kind of curious. Your last guy got me thinking about, I'm just wondering how much revenue per salary per revenue ratio, like the average state and local law enforcer brings in to the criminal, and that's a good name for it, a criminal justice complex.
Like into the as
lawyers
we call
on
it,
both sides.
Well, we call that, John, the cabal. First of all, back again to the little photos. In the Middle East, they would have killed everybody involved. So we're not that bad yet at all. But, you know, revenue, you know, one night we'll do a part of a program on it, maybe during one of our open line segments where police officers can call us and help us out a little bit. But these are revenue-generating apparatuses. That's what they're there for. They aren't there to get people who go through a red light by inches. They want the money from everybody. That's what they're doing. They're trying to create cash for the communities. Since property values have gone down in most areas, they have seen their revenue go down, and they're petrified. They want to replace that. And the only way to do it is to do things like tickets and fines and things like that. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. It's Brian's turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I want to respond to your last guy and some of the comments you've gotten over tonight and the last couple of nights. the guy last night with the gold, the oil guy. Just want to set a few things straight. I like the guy tonight saying that basically it doesn't matter, and I understand that. But, you know, we all have to choose the lesser of two evils. I just want to throw out some facts here. Some guy talked about this administration being the most corrupt. I mean, we spent, Bush had his first tax cut, stimulus, that gave $1 trillion to the top 1%, 70% of it. All the military contracts that got wasted went to his buddies. And at the end of his administration, it came out that his Interior Department were giving away mineral contracts literally at orgy parties. I mean that's the truth. You can't get any worse than that. But here's my point. I want to challenge some of your Tea Party guys. Again, I know that there's nobody perfect, but here's my problem. You talk about the elite, and here's the problem. When you got to choose between the two, last night you talked about Obama and bailing out the car companies. Well, hey, you know, yeah, they might have gone through bankruptcy, they might have survived, but if not, they saved a minimum of $120 billion in lost revenue and having to pay unemployment costs to those people. Even if we go under a little bit, we saved at least $100 billion, and, you know, the people take that away. But here's the point. I see the biggest problem, taking everything else away, welfare and everything, is the forming of oligarchies. The facts are, in the last two decades, the top 1% have doubled the amount of assets they own. They own 40%. The top 5% now owns 83% of all assets. Yeah, they're paying the most federal income tax because they have all the money. But that's been growing steadily. In the 60s, the common CEO made 40 times the average worker. Now it's over 460 times.
Now
they sit on each other's boards and give themselves a pay raise. And it's a perpetual thing. And so those Tea Party guys, you know, the guy said he was friends with Glenn Beck, and I was up with them until then. You know, Glenn Beck wanted to give back the banks all the freedom they want to go back into the risky credit default swap that lost, you know, a minimum. We're talking trillions of dollars. Just, oh, we'll just trust them again. They won't do it. That's what, you know, Glenn Beck wants to do. And I think that's ridiculous. I mean, they've gotten all the money. It has not trickled down. They get more and more. If you've ever seen, look at Russia, common day Russia. I mean, they did what we're going towards in less than a decade, mostly over strong arms. Other oligarchies are, you know, the Contra Sandinista thing, oligarchy. Castro came into power after oligarchies were in control. Venezuela, very few people controlled everything, and they pissed off the poor people, and they had enough of it. Communist Russia came out of the Bolshevik Revolution because the Tsarists had all the control of everything, and they didn't care.
That's exactly right. See, the point is, that you're saying, and by the way, I don't think Glenn is in favor of big banks getting all that money. But look, people get upset when big government starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't have problems with people at the top making more money as long as it's fair and equitable and they're not taking advantage of other people, the average American, to get to where they are. They came up with a better mousetrap. They're entitled to making the money to do that. I don't have a problem with it. That's how capitalism has worked in this country for years. But the cronyism, the helping them out, and the pork that has gone on in this country for years, totally out of control. You are very right about that. Let's go to Oswaldo in Sacramento, California. Hello there, Oswaldo.
Hey, George. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
Okay, I got it was an experience that I have back in 1984 when I was about 8 years old. Back in Mexico. What happened is my dad, we were on my dad's farm, and then my dad was with his friends, and then me and my brother, we were playing, and all of a sudden we saw this, it was like a ball of fire, you could say. It was like a plasma beam. I saw him later. And what happened is that my brother and I, we saw it for like 5 minutes. And then we were just staring at it. And then I ran to get my dad. And he was with his friends, and he didn't really pay attention to too much. So I came back, and then, you know, we keep staring at it, this UFO, I would say. And then all of a sudden, I run back, and then I, you know, told to my dad because I was so excited. I wanted to see him to see this thing, and then so he came out because he saw me that I was so excited, and then this thing was it was moving, but on the meantime when I was staring at this ball of fire, or ball of light or whatever it was, it wasn't metallic. It was just like a ball of fire. It was around 8 o'clock, and summertime it was in August. I still remember.
What do you think? I was running, and I've only got 30 seconds left before I'm off the air here. But
it was something.
What do you think it was? Yeah.
Well, what happened is in that area there's a lot of sightings, and it's still happening in the nowadays. On the distance, you can see balls of fires. At night, like they say at midnight, you're sitting outside, and then you can see the balls of light.
Well, look, we are convinced, as Waldo, as you probably are now too, that there's something else out there, and this planet has been visited for a very long, long time. On our next Coast to Coast program, by the way, as I mentioned, Lloyd Auerbach joins us as we talk about some ghosts. For Dan Colanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lone Hood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.